Hot 91's All Things Property with Direct Collective.
You're with Jade and Mel Cayley from Direct Collective. We are going to chat everything equity at the moment with you, Mel. I find that the real estate market has moved a lot locally, as we know, in the last couple of years. People maybe even for the first time finding that the investment or the house that they live in that they've been paying off for the last 5 or 10 years now is a bit of a goldmine. Talk to me about equity, because it's a conversation a lot of people throw around. Some people are really savvy at accessing equity. Some people don't access it at all. I'd love to get your thoughts on this. Really want to know what you're thinking about equity. Is it a yay or a nay?
Well, it's a contentious subject, as you've identified. So, you know, for the camp that says, you know, buy your first home, pay it off before you look at doing anything else, what they're essentially saying is we want the security of knowing that it's paid off. So if anything goes bad, we've got that covered. But what that actually comes from is a very different time in Australian property. It's also about not understanding fully debt and how you manage that, but also then what you're doing with that money to generate more equity. So, you know, using equity well, you can pay down a property in one third of the time or less than trying to pay it off over 30 years, for
example.
Okay,
now you got me. I'm intrigued.
Okay, so... So when we're looking about at what we want to create from our life and how we create security, people see their home and the home that they live in as the big one. So we don't touch it. We don't put it at risk. But that's just a lack of understanding of what risk is. So equity is that position you have between what your property is worth and then how much debt you have. So when you talk about property prices increasing, that means if it's gone up $100,000, well, now you have an extra $100,000 worth of equity in the property. So... when you're looking to leverage that to invest in property, so let's say you've got a property that's worth $1 million and over 10 years it doubles in price and is now worth $2 million. If you borrowed equity from that, so even if you and you had $200,000 worth of usable equity, you took that out and you bought property, you know, or two properties for $500,000 each, and there's some other costs, etc., involved. Those two properties double, so they become $1 million each. So they're $2 million. You sell those down, even if it was interest only. You know, so you've done interest only for the whole 10 years. It's doubled in value.
So you're relying on capital growth, yep, really.
In that case,
yes.
But then you've got $1 million of free cash. So even if you haven't paid down your home, which in that case you probably would have, because what we would have done is we would have set up an offset account and we would have used the income from those properties to help pay down the existing property, and you might have only had $500,000 or $600,000 against that property initially anyway. So then you've paid it down and then you've got all this extra cash. What are you going to do with that? So not sitting in the bank's not the best of ideas.
Not at the moment. I won't give you much for that.
But that's a really basic scenario where, you know, a couple of investment properties leveraging the equity and you pay off your home over 10 years instead of 30. But you're in a better position. The other thing is it can improve your cash flow. And leveraging that equity, if you then are using the equity in your investment properties, and don't get me wrong, you know, not all properties work. You mm-hmm. know, and you should never borrow money to invest in property unless you are confident of growth, because it's about leveraging the position. But leveraging works in both directions, which a lot of people miss. Okay, so it's about making sure if you're going to invest, you get the right information and you're targeting the right properties, because what you live in isn't always going to be the best financial instrument.
Yes.
Okay. So it's about setting up a business plan, if you like, around your life and using property as the business to create equity, to create cash flow. Done right, not only are you paying your home down through the income on the way through and ensuring that all of your lending structures are correct, but that property portfolio could fund itself, leveraging equity that you're creating in that portfolio and the cash flow from that portfolio to become its own entity to create cash flow and income over time.
So really, I mean, you, from what I understand, I guess, is using equity really is the key to building a portfolio. You know, you hear these people that, you know, I build a property portfolio in 10 years and I've got, you know, 15 properties and all of this sort of stuff.
Yep.
And, you know, I've come across people too who, as soon as they're in a position where, because they always say getting that first property is the hardest, getting the first one is the hardest. And then once you get that equity, using that equity as soon as you can to reinvest. Some people continue to do that. You know, obviously it's higher risk, but then obviously you get the second property and then you accumulate equity in that over the next few years if done right, like you said. I guess what a lot of people toy with, Mel, is the fact that you can either use your equity on this side and hold on to your properties and take the time to let your properties accumulate that capital growth to then use your equity to reinvest. Or on the other side, people flip their properties. So, you know, if they've got capital growth over the last few years, they think, well, no, I'm going to cash in. And a lot of people are doing that in this market as well. I'm going to cash in and then I'm going to go off and reinvest. So there's two different kind of obvious strategies that I feel like most people kind of cruise down.
Yep.
You're laughing at me. You're smiling at me. What are you thinking? What are you thinking?
Well,
is there a right and a wrong? It's probably not. But.
Well, there isn't. And again, as I've said before, risk comes from a lack of knowledge. Okay, so the reason people flip properties is because they see an uplift. Oftentimes they've done a reno. But what we see is with the selling costs and then what you're left with and what you can use can be a very... it can be less advantageous than just using the equity from the property. But it also depends on the property. So there is, so the principle is flipping property is flipping stupid.
Okay? Oh, I like it.
So because it's a speculative activity.
Yes.
Okay. So it comes back to if you are skilled, if you have all the information, then great. It's a good strategy for you. And there are times in a portfolio, and I'll talk about how you build a portfolio and what the phases are, that you might sell down some property, but that's a different thing to flipping. Okay, so flipping is a strategy, but you need to have the skills, you need to have the knowledge, you need to have the expertise to be able to do it well to de-risk a high-risk strategy.
We're going to get a lot of real estate agents calling us up in the next couple of days. No one will sell their properties now after listening to this. They won't have anything to sell. But it's an interesting one. I feel like lots of, like I said, people in my life, I can see a clear distinction between two different strategies that they're taking. Of course, I'm too young to sort of see which way it's going to go. And of course, you want to know which one's the right one to do. Just another very interesting thing, and we might be segueing a little bit, but when it comes to accessing your equity in the property that you have, obviously then lending comes into the picture as well.
Of course.
You need a valuation on the property that you have, of course, to discover what kind of equity you do have, and then to potentially go off and buy again. Quite often there's a refinance process that occurs. I guess I'd just love to know your pros and cons of refinancing when it comes to accessing your equity, because I know for me personally, and I don't know how this works, but I always feel like when I have to refinance, I'm sort of starting my loans all over again because they throw the clock back to 25 years again, you know, in terms of your loans and stuff like that. Give me the pros and cons of not only just your equity, but the refinancing component that comes with that. Is there anything we need to look out for?
Yeah, well, there's lots of things to take into consideration, and there's not a blanket answer to that because it actually does come back to individual circumstances and the outcome you're trying to achieve. But to talk to some of the considerations, when you're refinancing and you talk about resetting at a 25 or a 30-year loan, that's not always a bad thing because what that does is it also resets your repayments. Okay, so... that might mean that your actual cash flow position is better. So that means that the extra money should then be going into an offset account because interest is calculated daily. And so every day you've got a dollar sitting in there, you know, you're paying less interest. And so there's some structural things that you can do around that. But it's really about what the outcome is. So let me give you an example with regards to lenders' mortgage insurance, for example. So people say, oh, why would I pay that cost? And my response to that is, if I give you a check for $50,000, but you have to write me a check for $10,000, would you do it? Well, of course, because the net position is an increase of $40,000. So it's then not a question around the $10,000 cost that you had. It's about the outcome that you get. And that's the really important thing to look in lending is that some people really focus on, if I'm refinancing, I've got these costs, I've got this hassle, you know, so if I'm going to do it, I want the lowest interest rate. It's not about the lowest interest rate. It's about the overall position, what that does to your cash flow. And because when you are investing in property, there are two things that will enable or limit your ability to go next: the property itself and the lending structure around it. Okay, so if you've bought the wrong property for what you're trying to achieve, it's going to limit you. But if you've got the right property and that lending structure is incorrect, then it's going to limit you. So it's about understanding how you combine the two. So it's not just a matter of refinancing. It's about what's the outcome I'm trying to achieve, and therefore, what am I prepared to do to get that right outcome? And so then we take into consideration all the individual factors around that.
I feel like you answered that like a politician then, Mel. I still don't know the answer. But look, it's not an easy fix. And I guess it's one of those, you know, conversations. And because everyone's situation is different, when it comes to refinancing, it can be multifaceted. So, okay, well, look, I think at the moment, from what we have understood, there's a lot of people now locally who've got a lot of equity in their property. Advice would be use your equity. Head out there, build your portfolio. Also doing people a favour. We talked about the rental crisis last week and the undersupply of rental properties on the Sunshine Coast. So there you go. Be helping people out. Mel, love chatting to you every week. If anyone out there listening has got a topic they want us to discuss, Mel is the most insanely great resource for everything property. So here's your chance to tap into that knowledge. Hit us up at Hot 91. Follow me on social, Jade Harrison Media. Mel, loved having you in today.
Thanks, Jade.
Hot 91's All Things Property with Direct Collective.